Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
All right, time to talk to a good friend and hell of a writer. He writes for The Athletic. His name, Tim Kawakami. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, Tommy, how you doing today?
Tremendous. So I'm never going to get through to you about the Twitter stuff, am I? Should I stop wasting my breath on that?
We've talked about this. I've acknowledged it, but I think what I wrote today is like, hey, and I've written before. I think some of the stuff I like exposing it. I think they fear, you know, they want to, you know, make you afraid of them. They want to intimidate you. And you might know me pretty well, Tommy. I don't get intimidated. And Tyrant Matthew actually tweeted something out today that I kind of agree with. Hey, there's great wisdom in the Honey Badger. Like, hey, if I show that you don't like me, I'm going to try to show it even more. Sometimes you just do that. Not every time, and I know it's annoying, but if you hit a nerve on a certain group of people, I kind of want to hit that nerve, and I'm going to repeat it. And then shouting at me is not going to make me stop. And in fact, it's going to make me do it more. So,
yeah. See, it's just two different roads. Tim takes his road, and I take the whatever road. I just don't care.
Which I appreciate and understand. And, you know, hey, you know what? I probably would be better off doing that. But I just can't help it. And on certain things, I really do think. Like, you know, just, you know, we don't have to talk about it, but the Kaepernick stuff just hit something that they wanted you to just never write about it. They just, there were thousands and thousands of NFL fans that were shouting at you to stop writing about it. And no, the whole point was to discuss the issue. And you could have all kinds of different takes on it. That was fine. But it was they didn't even want you to talk about it. It had to be suppressed. And nope, I don't play that game.
Yeah.
I do not play that game. It's case by case. And again, I tell people, I understand it's annoying. I get that. I would be annoyed if I was reading my timeline and I wasn't me. But some of this, I want people to see it because it's not a fake number of people out there, right? I mean, I know that was kind of said, hey, it's just this tiny percentage of people. We've kind of seen now, right? There's a percentage of people that's real out there that spew this stuff, and they do try to intimidate people, and I don't do that. Again, I might lay out on certain things, and I certainly have laid. I don't jump to every single thing, but on certain things, on certain flashpoints that I think intersect with sports specifically, I'm going to say some things, and when a certain population is angriest at me about it, that's when I'm going to go. I'm going to go. We're going to go. It's like it's not going to stop.
I get it. I get it. We are who we are.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, exactly.
We are who we are. Before we get to the article that you wrote on Zaidi and Kappa, which was a really, really good article. It took me 3 days to get through it, but fantastic.
It's a little long.
I know, but it was really good. It explains a lot about their relationship. Let me ask you a little bit about the new memo, I guess, the NFL has sent out regarding the vaccine, vaccinated players, non-vaccinated players. And I've wondered this for a little while now, what the dynamics in the locker room will be between vaccinated players and non-vaccinated players. And now I really wonder what the dynamics are going to be, being that the league said, if you miss a game because of the non-vaccinated players missing the game and the game has to get canceled, and we can't make up that game, everyone loses a check. Everyone loses a check. And I thought, if I'm vaccinated and you guys are causing me to lose a game check in a league where the average career is like 3.5 years or like it's about 3.5 years, I am not going to be super cool with that. Now you're talking about money, and I'm wondering what the dynamics will be now in the team, in the locker room for players that are vaccinated that may have a chance to lose a game check, because if they miss a game, everyone, even if you're not positive, if you can't play, you can't make it up, you don't get a game check. I wonder if that'll change things and change the dynamics in the locker room for teams that haven't reached that 85% threshold.
I don't even know, question. It already has. I mean, we're seeing, again, on Twitter, so we have to measure it, some of that. But we saw DeAndre Hopkins tweeted about it and, you know, complaining. It's not freedom of choice. And he does, you know, it's his own body and he's being forced to do this. And other players did too. Buffalo Bills players have. Cole Beasley, obviously, is kind of the leading voice on this. John Feliciano. I think it's going to go team by team. I think we're going to see it. I think it's very similar, not as stratified, I would say, as college football. But when Nick Saban says our guys can get vaccinated, Alabama football is vaccinated, period. And when, you know, another coach says, I don't know, then that team might not. You know, it's obviously college football so much head coach on down, right? It is dominated by the head coach. Pro football, not as much. But I do think teams that are more cohesive and more, you know, think they really have a shot to win it, this is their shot. I think we're looking at the 49ers here, clearly, are going to be like, okay, you know what, even if there's a question whether, you know, your eight players question whether they should take the vaccine, again, your choice, they're going to look at the rest of the team going, you're going to screw up our chance of Super Bowl by not getting vaccinated when every health indication is that you should. I think you're going to have these teams that are, you know, you're going to have some teams that are kind of offline, and you have some teams that are together on this. And it will, in some ways, not exactly, but I think in some ways, it will mirror teams that are together, that, you know, have it together, have a cohesive leadership from the general manager, team president, head coach, to team leaders in that locker room on down. And I think, you know, we saw some of them, like, weird, the Raiders, right? There were, like, five different minor violations last season. Again, it was a tougher year last year. Yeah. You know, they have vaccine now. They didn't have vaccine. It wasn't tough. I'm not trying to, you know, single out anybody. But, I think the Raiders were fined, like, $800,000 on all these different incidents they had last year. They probably didn't have it together administratively. Who knows? The Raiders not having it together administratively. That was shocking, I know.
Shocking.
But, you know, I think we're gonna see some of this. Like, I just think leadership is always leadership, no matter the issue, no matter the time. There are teams that have leadership. Nick Saban's Alabama. You can hate them. You can hate that they dominate. You can hate Nick Saban. That team isn't going to screw up. It's not going to screw up. And other teams that are less set up, less organized, less, you know, discipline are going to screw up in a lot more cases.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Tim.
Football teams are so dominated by the coach. I just think we're going to see it through the eyes of the leadership.
You mentioned this, and I've read this from a couple players. Hey, it's my body. It's my choice. And they're absolutely right when they say that. They don't seem to realize that there's consequences that come with those choices. You're playing in a league that's trying to make money, and you're getting paid millions of dollars, some of these players, for playing in this league. There is consequences for your decision. I mean, they want to make this choice and not have any consequences. And it's like, hey, you want to make the choice? Cool. I mean, you do it. You do it. But there are consequences, and your consequences aren't just going to affect you. They could possibly affect other players on the team. That's when it gets dicey. But I hate that argument because, yeah, of course they're right, but they don't get the fact there's another part to it, that your choices, your body, those come with consequences. These are the consequences. That part they don't quite seem to grasp.
That really is a dynamic here. They finally put it into competitive terms, and maybe it's hard, just like the rest of society says, it's, you know, it's health terms here. It's not competitive terms. But if you do put it in competitive terms, and even in practice, like, you know, if you're not vaccinated, you have to meet over there, and everyone else is meeting over here. And if you're not vaccinated, you can't go out when we're on a road game. And those sorts of things are going to come into play. But, yes, then you get into the game situation. And forget about, like, there might be games that you have to miss and the team plays. what if there's a ton of players that can't play? You not only lose your game check, you lose the game, you forfeit the game. Like, that's literally, like, it's not, that's a big deal. And again, no games were canceled last season, and that was without vaccinations. So the odds of this, who knows? We don't know. Although with the Delta variant, you know, God knows where the numbers are going to go. But I don't think this is something that is likely to happen. But that is out there, obviously, has stirred up the players, that they get it. That gets their attention. And you're right. You know, hey, if you can say that it's right on my body and you can't tell me that's my job, hey, a slow receiver could say, I have the right to be there as any fast receiver does. Or, any defensive lineman. It's competition. There are qualifications to try to help the team win. And if your unvaccinated status is in any way pushes the team possibly towards losing, the team has every right to react as a team, as a business, yep, as an operation. It's competition. And nobody's going to jail for this. That's where people get confused. No, it's not freedom of speech. That's not, the Constitution says you can say whatever you want to say, but then there are consequences within a business. The business can operate, or an organization, or whatever. So we'll see. I think there will be, obviously, as there is with everything, there will be initial heat. There will be, obviously, controversial takes and positions. And then I think, at least in most teams, the general consensus will be just get vaccinated. Just get vaccinated, and everything, you play it out, and you don't have to worry about these things. If this is the hill it's an interesting hill to die on, and I don't want to make a pun on words there, but it is. Yeah. I'll just say, if that's it, as others have pointed out, this is a sport that has led to brain trauma. This is a sport that has crippled people. This is a sport that, like we said, what's an average career is 2 or 3 years, and guys come out limping. And this is the line where you're going to draw? This is it? People are trying to make you healthy? That's where I think is a great point.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge issue. And you know, I'm vaccinated, but, you know, I can, you know, people can do what they want to do. I'm not going to sit there and judge them, but there is a price for every decision that you do make. What's going to be interesting to me is, Do two equal players going for that 52nd man on the roster job? You're the backup, you know, punt returner, whatever. You're the sixth corner. You're the seventh linebacker, whatever. And you got two guys, and they're both equal, and they're having basically the same kind of preseason, but one guy's vaccinated and the other guy's not. Is the guy who's not vaccinated going to get cut?
I think it can't help but be a competitive advantage for the guy who's vaccinated. It's competition. The other guy might not be able to play in several games, or might get several other guys tested positive and you blow a game. I don't know that they can say it. I don't know that that's ever going to be public, but I think if it's equal, like a lot of these things, if it's equal and one guy is popular in the locker room and one guy isn't, guess what? The guy who's popular in the locker room is going to make it. If it's equal and one guy figures out the plays faster than the other, guess what? It's the guy who figures out the plays. These are one of many factors, and I think coaches and executives are going to take everything into consideration, as they always do, as every business always does. Sometimes they make the wrong decision. Sometimes they overreact. But if all other factors being equal and they're the same player in value, and one of them is vaccinated and one of them is unvaccinated, I can't see how the unvaccinated player would make it. I would got to believe the vaccination is a competitive advantage at some level. Not the only one, not the only factor, but it is a factor in some of this.
Yeah, you'd be negligent if you didn't take that into consideration. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's get to the article you did on Zaidi and Kapler and their relationship, which it is long, but it is well worth reading. It's very comprehensive, and it goes back to their days when Gabe was with the Dodgers and recruited Zaidi from the A's to be with the Dodgers, and that was kind of the start of their relationship. I'm just curious, because I've said before, Tim, that they're starting to remind me of the Warriors a little bit in the way they work. They're all about communicating, all about collaboration, all about listening. Don't really care who's getting the credit. I think they realize, like the Warriors do, if you win, everyone gets the credit, and it doesn't really matter who gets it, just as long as you win. Now the Warriors are light years ahead of them, because they have three championships. But
do you see
those similarities between the two organizations, and that's kind of the, because that's what I got out of the article, was that, and you can kind of see it throughout the organization when you hear about the players seeking out the coaches and the coaches giving the information to the players in a way that they could best utilize it. I mean, that really stands out to me, and it starts with Farhan and Gabe and their relationship and the great communication skills they have between one another.
No question. I think that's where I would see the closest parallel is, you know, Bob Myers and Steve Kerr, are they online and everything? Are they communicating to each other? Do they understand each other? Are they friends? And I don't always like to get into that because we don't really know, but I think we can say that Bob Myers and Steve Kerr are friends.
Yes.
And they empathize for each other and they have each other's backs. And it's the most important relationship that, you know, among non-players in an organization is coach and the main talent evaluator. And I think Zaidi, when Farhan was looking for a manager, that's what he wanted. And there was no question that that was going to be Gabe Kapler if Gabe Kapler was available. And that it has continued, that they both bring up this 2014 situation when Kapler was the new farm director hired by Andy Freeman and Dodgers, and Freeman said, you know, let's try to get Farhan from leave the A's, because the A's was a great spot for him, right? It was Billy Bean, it was David Force. Farhan was, you know, he continues to be very close to Force especially, and he could have, you know, sat that out and said, you know, I don't really need to go to the Dodgers right now. And Gabe Kapler was the one who really kind of pushed him over the line, and that friendship continued from there. Once you have that, I don't know that anyone else is going to beat out Gabe Kapler for that job once Kapler was fired by the Phillies. And I just thought it was interesting that when I asked Farhan about what he was thinking while Kapler kind of was going to be available, it was rumored that he wasn't fired yet by the Phillies. And he clearly, you know, he had Bochy going in the final year, but that whole year he's contemplating who his next manager is going to be. He was saying, yeah, I wasn't thinking I was going to have a candidate. I was mad because the way they handled it with Gabe. And it just tells you that relationship. It is a relationship that is tight. They are friends. You know, again, best friends, socialize. I'm not going to go that far. I don't know. But they clearly have a belief system that jives together. They trust each other so much that they can argue with each other. And as, you know, Saidi said, they get hot sometimes. It gets animated. But that's good. Like, you know, some of your best conversations, some of the most useful discussions are when you're kind of pushing each other, when you're challenging each other, and you trust that the other person isn't going to get offended by it, that the other person can understand what you want out of it. And I think that's what I got from this. They keep going back to that, you know. And Farhan's, you know, that's one thing I learned. I'm like, he's a little bit devilish sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. He's a little, like, he likes poking at you. He pokes at me, he pokes at other people, and I appreciate it. You can't exist in the Billy Bean David Force aura, by the way, without some of that. And that's good. I like it. And, you know, Tommy, you know, I mean, Steve loves that stuff.
He loves that stuff.
Bob, maybe not as much, but Bob will do a little bit. It's just, it's healthy. It's healthy. I keep going back to competition, but it's competitiveness. It's like, let's make each other better. And if you come in with some weak crap, I'm going to bring it back right to you. I'm going to let you know. And I think that is the essence of what the Giants have put here. Now, Larry Bear was saying, you know, this is what we have with you know, Sabian and Bochy. This is what we have with Sabian and Dusty. And I think it's different, but you can't ever, I think, build a great organization if your general manager or whoever's in that position and your coach aren't aligned on that, on the way they do business, on the way they think, and the way they can push each other. And like, do you really want to do that? Or do you just saying that? And let's try to think of it a different way. And I think that's what those two guys have, and it goes throughout the entire organization. I think players see it, and players feel like they can do that. You know, I don't know if they're challenging things, but, you know, they're wondering, they're talking through things. The 13 assistant coaches, you know, that's just managing 13 assistant coaches is something that most baseball managers, no baseball manager has ever had. And that takes incredible organizational skills. That creates focus. Like, you know, hey, I used to manage the Bay Area staff, and I had 9 writers, 10 writers, and to keep your eye on the ball on every single one of them takes a lot of discipline. And I think that's, you know, that goes through the whole club now. It goes through, and it makes Darren Ruff ready to take that sixth inning pinch hitting appearance that he knows he's going to get when the lefty reliever comes in for the righty. It just, there is a kind of clinical feeling to this that they all understand what they're supposed to do. There's some improvisation within it, and you know, Zaidi and Scott Harris talked about leaving Cueto in the home opener when you know I thought they were taking him out in the seventh. He goes into the ninth. There are things like that. And by the way, when these things are being brought up, I'm thinking, you know, the stuff that we think is big, they tend to think is big too. Like we're not just coming up with things that are big. Like they have the same mileposts. They have the same instances of things turning, of, you know, when the Giants were 8-16 and were struggling last season and then turn around, we knew that was big. That's what the Giants think were big. But within all those things, I just think it's the – I know players get it when the coach and the general manager are not on the same page. The players pick it up faster than anybody. And obviously the players know it when the coach and the general manager are together, when they're – you know, and far out to president. And so whatever that role is, whatever the title is, if Bob is president and general manager, whenever that is cohesive, the clubhouse feels it. The locker room feels it. Doesn't always mean you're going to have the best record in baseball because of it. I think we're all surprised that the Giants have the best record in baseball at any point of the season, and forget about it in late July. But it just gives you an idea of why this team that does not have Fernando Tatis, does not have, you know, Mookie Betts, does not have Clayton Kershaw, but has these assemblage of pieces that seem to all maximize what they are, even when, you know, Crawford's hurt and Belt's hurt and Longoria's hurt. You know, we know all the things that teams go through. But, the Dodgers are going through now with Betts hurt and all these other guys hurt. But it's just a clarity of vision, I think, that you've got to have. And it starts with Zaidi and Gappler. And I wanted to explore why they had it. That's why I wrote that story.
You know, you're right about that being that central relationship, but it's got to be functional. It can't be unless and the only thing I've ever seen where it's dysfunctional and it works is you got to have Michael Jordan, you know, Krause and Phil, right? They had Jordan. All right, everybody else better get along. And so Myers and Kerr get along, and Sabes and Dusty got along, and. Would you say is the central, like if you said central figure of the Warriors, I'm saying Steve Kerr. You say central figure of the Niners, I say it's Kyle Shanahan. If you say central figure of the Giants, to me it's much more debatable. I mean, Farhan is obviously the massive brain power and everything kind of stems from him. And most people would credit him with this turnaround. But then Kapler is so driven. And you can tell that he just works his staff to death. He himself is obsessed. And they're working really hard at it. And in some ways, he seems like the central figure. What's your read on it, Tim?
Yeah, baseball's different because the manager talks every day, you know, and you see it and it's presented that way. But I don't want to limit Kapler here, but I could see the Giants being very successful with Farhan as general manager and as president. And another manager, and I don't know if the Giants would be as successful with Kapler as manager and no Farhan. I'll put it that way. If you try to reverse engineer it, it works really well together, no question. But I think Zaidi's talent, his just his flexibility, his maneuverability, just that. And he needs a different kind of manager to do it, right? He needs a manager. It's like, okay, I got a new second baseman today. Let's go. Let's play him. And I compare that. I talked to them about this. I didn't put in the article. It reminds me of Bob Melvin. That, like, okay, now I got a new left fielder. Okay, let's go. The new left fielder's playing. And I'm going to trust Billy that this is the right guy. And we're going to play him for three games. And we're going to see and then maybe adjust from there. I think Kapler has a lot of that. Some of that is his farm director background. He was Farhan Zaidi's farm director with the Dodgers. But I would say that this – if you had asked me, I think with most teams now in baseball, the gentleman, the talent accumulator is the most important person because there are so many moves every year. There are so many decisions. There's so many contractual issues that the general manager or team president has to have his eye on so many things at once and balance and the 40-man roster and the IL and all these different things. I would say Farhan is the dominant personality in that organization.
Yeah, I think I would tend to agree. Before we let you go, got a new book or a new TV series? that you could recommend?
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. Well, you're pulling that one on me.
You do it to me all the time. I got to come up with something. I figure, you know what? Turnabout's fair play.
I do have to have these on mind because there's a certain Warriors coach who does check in with me on these occasions.
He does.
So I try to keep up to date, have one in mind. I'll say I'm just starting Lupin. I don't know if you know that. It's a kind of a crime mystery show in French, but it's very accessible. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, subtitles.
Very charismatic lead, very smart show. A lot of people have recommended to me, so... the show I'm watching now, when Steve Kerr checks back in with me from Japan at some point, I think he might, I'm going to say Lupin. It is. It's just a clever show, and I like thinking along with it. I was a Loki guy. I liked Loki.
Loki was good.
It was so quick, though, I kind of wanted more. But I'd say Loki and Lupin would be the two that I'm into recently. Those would be my shows lately.
I will recommend. Have you seen Dr. Death on Peacock?
No. Okay.
Whew.
Dr. Death. All right.
Good.
What is it?
Oh, I didn't know the story, but it's about. This guy is a piece of work, and I can't even get into the whole story. But he was a neurosurgeon at Baylor Medical, and basically, I think he had 38 surgeries. 33 of them were botched, 5 dead, under his knife, and he kept getting let go from these facilities, but they also wrote him letters of recommendation, and he just kept moving along from hospital to hospital, surgery to surgery, and it is
destroying people.
It is, yeah. Oh yeah,
oh
people
God.
Came in because they had back issues, and most of them, if not all of them, came out worse. Again, I think 5 people died under this guy's knife, and he still was able to get jobs at different facilities in.
And he hasn't been prosecuted
in Texas. Well, I won't ruin it for you, but okay. Yeah, this happened a few years ago, so it did come to a resolution. But I think his name's Joshua Jackson, the actor, but Alec Baldwin's in it. Christian Slater, maybe the first time.
It's not a documentary; it's a drama.
Yeah, exactly. They do have a documentary that's coming out in about a week. It's a 4-parter that comes out where they speak to the real doctors and some of the patients. But this one, I saw that. I go, that looks interesting. And then I was watching, and it was literally one of those things I was watching. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. This actually happened. I mean, it was just.
That's wild.
It was amazing. It was. Okay. I couldn't believe something like that could happen. In the States. So that one I would recommend. You will shake your head at least 5 times a show.
It's like one season or 2 seasons or something? Or
just one season, just 10 episodes.
Tom, you've recommended some twisty things to me. I'll put it that way. That book,
Book is a freaky one, Tim.
I look at that book and I get a chill right now. Jesus, Tolbert. I think Tolbert, my God. And I read the whole thing and it was good, but man, that thing was weird. That was a weird book.
I told you deserve a medal for reading it. That's how I felt. I looked at the book a couple days ago, and I think it moved. It freaked me out a little bit. I go, did that book move? Did somebody move this book or did it do it on itself? What the hell is going on with this thing?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Tim, you got to get another podcast going with Harbs. You just signed a 4-year deal today.
Oh, really? Jeez, I'll check in with him. I haven't talked to him for a while. Way to go, Harps. Man, he's going to be there for 10 years or something?
He's setting down roots in Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor. I didn't think so. But I think he probably thought he was going to win a national championship by now and maybe have moved on. But, hey, good for him. And I think it fits him. I think that place does fit him.
There is no doubt about it.
See if he can beat Ohio State, though. We'll see if that
happens.
That would be a bonus. Hey, Tim, we always appreciate you coming on the show. Really nice article, as all yours are anyway. But thanks for coming on, man. It's always fun talking to you.
Yeah, anytime. Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles. Discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.